is October 4th, 1974, the 60th anniversary of the Monday Noon Al-Anon Group in Laguna Beach. The chairman is Bobby L., the leader, Karen E., and the speakers are Chuck C. and Elsa C.
I am Chuck C. and I'm an alcoholic. I certainly wish I could feel that all of you came to hear me. This is a nice deal. But I know why you're here, and I'm glad you are here. I'm happy to be a part of your 16th anniversary meeting. After 16 years, I am almost over my resentment. This group started in my living room and messed up my furniture and wore out my rugs. Never put a buck in the hat. Never. So I'm just almost over my resentment after 16 years. I wouldn't be at all surprised if this Al-Anon group is not the finest Al-Anon group in the world. Really. All of my favorite women are in this group. And so, I'm very much in favor of you. I think you ought to do a little better with those do's and don'ts, however. I used to say to my good wife, quite often, when she got a little cocky, "You don't need to be so uppish," I said to her. "If it hadn't been for us, you wouldn't have had a program." And I got by with it for a number of years. But now when I forget and say that to her, she says, "Yeah, if it hadn't been for you, we wouldn't have needed a program." They're getting smart already. I said I was an alcoholic. What does that mean to me? It means that I cannot live and drink. And that of myself I can't keep from drinking. My problem is that I am condemned by the obsessions of the mind to drink whiskey. And I am condemned by the allergy of the body to die if I do. Now that's my problem. And I can't do anything about it. I can't do a damn thing about it. I analyzed me after 15 years of drinking, came up with the conclusion that this was a personal weakness, something that I had to overcome to get rid of, and I set about to overcome it and get rid of it. I worked on my problem for the next 10 years very diligently. And the harder I worked, the worse it got, and the worse it got, the harder I worked. And the farther backwards I went, the greater was my obsession that I had to win this deal. I gave it everything I had. Everything I had, all my wit and wisdom. I gave it my wife, my kids, my home, my job, my health, my sanity, and my money. And I lost. Gave it a real good college try, and I lost. So I got to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous knowing nothing of alcoholism, but knowing that I'd lost the battle of life. I'd made it my business not to know anything about alcoholism, because, you see, I wasn't an alcoholic. And I wasn't an alcoholic until I came to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I couldn't say I was an alcoholic. I didn't know that I was, but I couldn't say it anyway. And when I couldn't say I was an alcoholic, I was drunk half the time. And when I could say I'm an alcoholic, I haven't had to drink anymore. So you become an alcoholic after you come to the program. Before that, you are a drunk. And they use very illuminating, illuminating descriptive adjectives to tell us what kind of a drunk we are. So I got here knowing I'd lost the battle. So the first step wasn't difficult for me. I'm powerless over alcohol. My life's unmanageable by me. I got here knowing I was nuts. So the second step was no problem to me. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I needed to be restored to sanity. Because, you see, I had been a periodic for the last 10 years of my drinking. And as a periodic, I could look at my record right up until my last drunk and come up with the very very sure conviction that I'd learned my lesson. I learned my lesson. This time it's going to be different. And mind you, I could look at that record with physically sober eyes, because I was physically as sober as I am now between every two drunks for the last 10 years. And that is the insanity of alcoholism. We may be totally sane in all other areas of our lives, but so far as alcohol is concerned, we are insane. That's the only word to describe us. Otherwise, we could not deceive ourselves as I deceived myself up until the last drunk. So, the first and second steps were easy. The third, I didn't have anything against, but I couldn't take. It says we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. As we understood him. And I had no objection to that. I'd have turned my will and my life over to a jackass if I could have gotten rid of me. But I didn't think it was cricket to believe I could give this mess to anybody, and much less to God. I figured that he didn't like me as well as I did, and I hated my guts. So I just let that baby lay. We made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. And I latched on to the last 30-12 and practiced these principles in all of our affairs. That seemed to be all right with me. So I did that. And I found out later on that I'd already taken the first step before I even got here, which was nice. If I don't forget it, I'll tell you about it. So, the ABCs are my life. A, that I'm alcoholic, can't manage my own life. B, that probably no human power could relieve my alcoholism. But I'd take out the probably. that no human power could have relieved my alcoholism because I'd gone to the best. And I hadn't gotten any relief. So I was beyond human help. Probably, or rather, no human power could have relieved my alcoholism. And see that God can and will, if I'll work with Him. That God can and will, if I'll work with Him. Now, that's my programming. That's it, right there. Now, fortunately for me, on my last trip out, the bottle killed me. It beat me into total and absolute nothingness. My last trip was a 4 weeks total blackout. And it was a little bit bad. You know? Doctors and priests and preachers have told me that the thing that happened to me in bed in January 1946 is not uncommon to those who are actually in the very act of dying. They say that when a person is dying, sometimes they get a little period of sanity. And if they make the right decision, they come back. And if they make the wrong decision, they go on overboard. Now, that's what they tell me. I know nothing about it. I know what happened to me. I came to after 4 weeks blackout with the clearest head I've ever known in my life. Totally clear. And I saw me for the first time in my life with nothing between me and me. I accepted what I saw. And that was a failure in the business of living. I accepted the fact that my wife was divorcing me. And I knew she should have done it 10 years before. I accepted the fact that my kids wouldn't even come home when I was around. And I knew why. And I accepted the fact that the boss had sent word to the house that if I ever stepped foot in the plant again, he's going to throw me through the window. And the window to which he referred, don't open. I accepted the fact that morning that everything dear to me in life was gone and should be gone. And that I was not entitled to have it back. And I'm going to say that again, because this is the basis for my new life. I totally and completely accepted the fact that everything dear to me in life was gone and should be gone. And that I was not entitled to have it back. Suddenly became very necessary for me to be sober to die. Not because I wanted sobriety, because I didn't. My life was over. I didn't want nothing for me. Because my life was over. But I didn't want to die with a record. I didn't want Mrs. C and the kids to remember me as nothing but a tongue-chewing, babbling idiot drunk. And I said to myself, if I ever live to get out of this bed, I'll find Alcoholics Anonymous. And whambo, the curtain dropped. Instantly, the curtain dropped. The sanity was gone. And I was sickened to death, drunk, and insane. And I had a lot of dying to do. But from the second of commitment until right now, I have never had a drink of liquor or a sedating or tranquilizing pill of any kind. Such is the great significance of this thing called surrender. To accept ourselves exactly as we are, where we are right now, with all the things that are ours at that particular time, and to recognize the need for help and to be willing to try to find it. This is the great significance of surrender. And so I haven't had to have a drink or pill since I said to me, if I ever live to get out of this bed, I'll find alcoholics anonymous. Now, just a few more things, and I'm going to quit, because this is not my night. My day in the sun will come. Incidentally, just for your own information, and so you won't get too cocky, they tell me in Texas that I made the finest talk that was ever made to an Al-Anon luncheon in Dallas. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. I was a substitute for a substitute. The first speaker was supposed to have been the great Liz. Wasn't that her name? Huh? Gert Bahana. That was the first speaker. And Gert got the toothache or something. And she couldn't go. And then they scheduled in St. John's. Adela Rogers St. John's. And something happened to her, and she couldn't go. And so, old Ole Lancaster called me on a Thursday night, and he says, when are you leaving? I said, leaving for what? He says, for Dallas. I says, I'm not. He says, you are. And I said, no, I'm not coming to Dallas. He says, you're coming to Dallas. You're talking at the Al-Anon luncheon on Saturday noon. I said, uh-uh. My schedule will not allow it. And he says, you're coming. And I says, who ran out on you? And if you'll pardon my French, this is the answer I got. It's none of your goddamn business. You're coming. And so I went. And all I could do was duck in and talk at the luncheon and come right back because my schedule wouldn't allow anything else. And that's what he did. And they still say in Dallas that that's the best Al-Anon talk that's ever made. So you're lucky to have me with you tonight. But I'm not making an Al-Anon talk tonight. Somebody that I know is. Don't pay too much attention to her. I've known her a long time. Furthermore, I taught her everything she knows. Now, a couple of remarks and I'll sit down. You know, the alcoholic is caught in a trap he can't spring. For many, many, many years, from the beginning of time, as a matter of fact, when a person got into the position I was in 28 years ago, they just went ahead and died. There wasn't anything to do. They just died. But 28 years ago, I got sober. 39 years ago, Alcoholics Anonymous was born. And from that time to this, there's been something to do about it. There's been a way for an alcoholic to go. But up until that time, there was no way. Now, there were isolated people over the years who knew that we were caught in a trap that we couldn't get out of. There was an English doctor, probably 150 years ago, that analyzed alcoholism as a disease, not much different from the way we have it right now. Abraham Lincoln knew that alcoholism was a disease, and so said. He knew that we were caught in a trap we couldn't spring. That the obsessions of the mind were greater than the willpower. And so stated. So there have been a few people that knew it. Our good fortune is that Dr. Silkworth, who treated some 40,000 alcoholics during his practicing lifetime as a doctor, he knew it. And he was Bill's physician. And he had much to do with the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And so we're very fortunate that there have been alcoholics and non-alcoholics who were enlightened a little bit about this thing, one way or another. One of them was Dr. Carl Jung. In my opinion, and it's no good, my opinion is no good because I'm not qualified for an opinion. But I think Carl Jung, Dr. Carl Jung, was perhaps the most learned psychological mind that has ever existed since the beginning of time. He's my favorite of all psychologists and psychiatrists. And he knew about this thing. And he counseled one of our men, Roland, some years before Alcoholics Anonymous was born. Roland was going to him for help, bad alcoholic. And every time he went back to him, he was worse. And eventually he went back to him again, and Dr. Carl told him this. He says, medical science has done everything in its power for you, and it can do no more. Psychiatry has done everything in its power for you, and it can do no more. And it's now my duty to tell you that your only hope is a spiritual awakening, a transcendent spiritual experience. Now, that was some years before Alcoholics Anonymous was born. Sometime later, a chap by the name of Eddie called on Bill Wilson, our number one member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and told him about his experience in the Oxford group, and outlined to him some of the things they did in the Oxford group that had allowed him to get sober. And amongst other things, was a God of your very own. God as you understand him. And Bill was an agnostic, and he turned off his hearing aid about that time. And went ahead drinking. And Abby went about his business, and Bill went ahead about his business, and he got awful drunk. And he ended up in town hospital. Heard Dr. Silkworth tell Lois, Bill's wife, that the only thing she could do was to make his life as easy as she could for the next 6 months. Because he, at the end of 6 months, he'd either be dead or she'd have to institutionalize him forever. Put him away. Bill heard that. And he wasn't in very good condition to hear a thing like that. He was in a withdrawal. And he was puny. He didn't feel very good. And he felt a lot worse when he heard that pronouncement. And he felt bad enough that he remembered what Abby had told him. And he said, well, I've tried everything else. Maybe this thing has something to it. So he cried out in total, in complete despair, God, if there be a God, reveal yourself to me now. And something happened to Bill. He had an instantaneous spiritual awakening. He called it, until the day he died, the hot flash. And he never had to drink anymore. And Alcoholics Anonymous was born. Now, this is what I want to tell you. After a while, when they had worked out the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and had proven that it worked if we work it, Bill heard about Roland. And he wrote to Dr. Carl Jung in Zurich, Switzerland, and asked him how come he knew this. How come he knew enough to tell Roland that the only possibility for him was a spiritual awakening? And Dr. Carl wrote back and said something like this, that he had always known that the alcoholic's problem was his search for unity. His search for unity. He was trying to join life, to join the human race. And he couldn't make it. And when he found liquor, it was the nearest thing he'd ever known to unity. It allowed him to become a part of the life around him. And so he thought he'd found his answer. But of course it was the wrong answer. And after a period of time, his answer turned into his problem and eventually made it necessary for him to find the right answer or perish. And he used a line from the scriptures that I like better than pretty any other one in the whole place. Carl Jung used this. As the heart, A-K-R-T, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. The great search for unity. Now this is our answer in Alcoholics Anonymous, and we find it by the accident of total failure and by doing a certain series of things that are outlined in our book to do. We find ourselves, which includes our relationship to each other and to God. And we find a way to live that makes it possible for us to live comfortably, peacefully, and joyously with ourselves. Now that's what we find in Alcoholics Anonymous. Now you Al-Anons figured that all we had to do was straighten up and fly right, and you'd be home free. Because you didn't have nothing wrong with you. You weren't drinking booze. You know? You weren't doing the things that we did. You were nice people. And if we'd just straighten up and fly right, you would be okay. And we straightened up and flew what right, and you weren't okay. We'll take a little credit for that. Because you can't hardly live with an alcoholic for 20 or 25 years without becoming a neurotic in your own right. We see to that. Misery loves company. And so, it becomes necessary for you also to see that there is no answer for you except a spiritual awakening. There are not two answers to this thing called life. There's not one for me, a drunk, and another for you, a non-drunk, an earth people. So, it's all the same answer. And I'm convinced that there's only one answer. There's only one answer, whether you be alcoholic or not. And that is a personally acceptable, conscious partnership with the living God that made us in the entire business of living. It's the only answer there is in my way of thinking. Because, you see, we happen to be God's kids. Whether we believe it or not, whether we deny it or not, it don't make any difference. We're God's kids, and He's always known it, but you and I have to find it out. We have to discover it in our own way and in our own time. And, of course, that's what we do in this great program. We do it in Alcoholics Anonymous. You do it in Al-Anon. Overeaters Anonymous does it in their program. Addicts Anonymous does it in their program. Alateen does it in their program. And they all use the same set of tools. And it works for all of us. And when Herbert Hoover was alive, he was addressing the General Assembly of the United Nations on a policy matter, world policy, and he stopped right in the middle of his talk. And he said, if we, the peoples of the world, knew and lived by the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous, this General Assembly would not be necessary. God bless you. Thank you very much.